Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And you are. And today we're going to talk about natural healing using herbs, or if you could patent grass, you'd have to get a prescription to mow the lawn. I tell you, there is so much truth in that.
No, it's hysterically funny.
No,
It's not funny. It's actually not funny, but it is funny hearing you say it like that.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about healing with herbs, and it's in the news a lot.
Don't start with marijuana.
I'm going to start with medical marijuana.
I can't believe it. Right? I cannot believe it.
All right. Well, people are, they've determined.
All right. Let's say it's CBD oil.
CBD oil. All right. Well, I think what's happened is big business has decided there's big business in drugs. Surprise, surprise.
Well, the guys under the table have known that for quite a long time. Lots of big houses sitting there for marijuana sales.
Right. Well, more from prescriptions, I think. And now they're going to make marijuana into big business.
So they already have.
All right. So we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were really going
right,
to focus
we're going to talk about
that.
Other herbs, or herbs, as they would say in England. So you like to say that we have an insurance plan in, I was going to say in the garden, but you don't say that. I say that. So
no.
So talk about herbs. Tell me a little bit about
herbs.
Well,
before we do that, I just want to say that I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not giving medical advice. Mm-hmm. The things that we're going to talk about today are processes and herbs and plants that we use on our own farm with ourselves and with our livestock.
And side effects may include having to think, which is painful to many.
Right? Yeah, that might be.
We're going to give all our disclaimers
we're
as we move along.
Control of your own health. So we do have a health insurance plan, and that plan is basically really simple. It says we're going to stay well. And as long as we're focused on that concept, which sounds kind of uppity, because we're able to live in a place where there's not a lot of spraying, although when I do have contact with somebody spraying, I can't talk for months, and we don't have a lot of air pollution in general. So we're lucky.
Hold on. I'm gonna sort of give you the benefit of the doubt here, because you're saying it sounds a little bit uppity, but the reality is most people will nod their head when somebody says, "Oh, you should focus on health and not on sickness," but they don't do it. So basically,
well,
what you're
true.
Doing is to say, "All right, hey, quit thinking about sickness, quit thinking about ailments, quit thinking about what drug you're going to
really
take,
powerful.
And start thinking about how can I be as healthy as I can be on an ongoing and daily basis."
Yeah. And that's the placebo effect, which we really need to think about, because the studies show that if we can tell ourselves a certain thing, like somebody gives us something and says, "This is going to make you better," a lot of the time, that is a placebo that is got nothing in it that's going to help you feel better. It's you told yourself that.
Okay, well, but we're going to talk about homeopathy later. So
it's not. Oh, come on. Next time you're sick and I give you some homeopathic stuff, I'm going to pinch you.
So give me a big cup of placebo, please.
That's right.
All right. Well, talk about, from the insurance, from the health standpoint.
Right. Well, let me.
And how does that differ from the medical model? I got lots of questions.
First of all,
here.
The medical model is the last on the list. It's it's the place of last resort. And that's the other placebo piece of this, is that we have to begin to tell ourselves and believe it, that we have the ability, just like our grandparents and our ancestors, to do a lot of daily maintenance or health maintenance on ourselves. So some of the systems that you and I use are chiropractic. We do homeopathic remedies. Even if you don't believe in it, you still do it when I ask you to, and you get better. We also do a lot of things with medicinal herbs, with plants that, again, our ancestors used and believed in, and there's, in fact, lots more evidence of how effective they are. So we're going to talk a little bit about natural healing, and I'm calling it a natural healing kit, because we need to be ready when there are things going on, such as injuries or illness, and how we can identify some of those problems and what to do about it. So there are some go-to things that I always have on hand. And eventually, if you're with us long enough, living in the environment with us, you will know these are the things you do.
Okay, with us, meaning at Blue Rock Station, yes. not with us on this planet.
Like, well, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But okay. So one of the first things we do is to say part of our health insurance policy is that we need to have a lot of good bacteria in our gut. So when we deal with the medical model has traditionally done a lot to destroy all that good bacteria that's in the gut, and they give antibiotic, and that's anti meaning it's going to kill what's there, but they kill everything. So the flora in the gut needs to have lots of good bacteria, and it needs balance. So when the bad bacteria is introduced, it has the ability to reestablish balance. So if somebody says, I have a stomach ache, we'll go and we have powdered acidophilus, and we keep in a jar in the refrigerator, and everybody will go and take if they're feeling ill. And almost always, if it's bacteria-based and not like E. coli or something, it's going to take that right out. It's going to stop that stomach ache because it's reestablished balance. It also works well with healing. If you have a wound, if you put that into the wound, what it does is it kills off bad bacteria and introduces good bacteria for healing. If you have a vaginal infection, again, it's bacteria that you're introducing. If you have a sore throat, what we do as a remedy is we say, all right, you're going to take the acidophilus on an empty stomach, and then you'll wait about 20 minutes, and then you're going to gargle some warm water with salt in it, which my grandma always guaranteed was going to be helpful. And then you're just going to keep repeating and altering the acidophilus, the probiotic, which is the acidophilus, with the salt, and guaranteed it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm. And I will attest to the acidophilus miracle cure. I mean, anytime you have an upset stomach or whatever, take a little spoonful of acidophilus. But that's not truly an herb, right? That's a probiotic.
Actually, I think it's produced from wheat.
Really?
Some of it is,
but it's mostly from yogurt, they always say.
It's in yogurt, but I don't think it's produced from yogurt, from everything I've read. I'm not an expert on this. I don't really care.
And I'm not a cook, but I don't think there's much wheat in yogurt. So, well,
I hope not, or I'm going to be sick. Another thing we do when there's a lot of congestion, we have several remedies, but one of them is to take some dried oregano and some garlic, and if it's fresh, that's even better, and smash it so it's got the oils in it, and some hot boiling water, and we'll put that in a cup and ask the person who's getting sick or is sick to sit and inhale that. And oregano and garlic are powerful, powerful herbs, medicinal herbs that can get into your system and help heal, and help, and they're antiviral, antibacterial. And they can really, really help you.
But a theme that I'm catching here is it's essentially restoring balance back to your system, to your body's natural systems, saying, okay, we're going to create reestablish balance or allow a situation where your body can heal itself.
Well, I think that's true, but I think we have to come from the point of view that the body has the ability to do this to start with, that it isn't some magic thing that a medical doctor gives you that says you're going to get better. Because the medical model, to boil it all down, their purpose is to, one, either mask what's wrong or remove it. And this is not the premise that we come from in terms of talking about healing and natural remedies. We're saying, look, the body has the ability at some level to take that immune system that lives in the gut where the bacteria lives and heal itself. So how do we do that? Well, we're saying we need to talk to the immune system. We need to say to the immune system, hey, boys, you got to step up to the plate here. You're not doing your job. How can I help you? And this is true for livestock. This is true for humans. Some other things that we like, elderberry, it's a fantastic booster to the immune system. And so I make elderberry syrup and In fact, I was getting ready. I went to on a trip in December, and I was quite worried because I was flying on a plane, which I don't care about the plane, but there's no fresh air and lots of germs. People were sneezing and coughing like crazy. And so I did two things for myself before I went. Again, I was talking to my immune system. So for the month before I went on the flight, I had two big tablespoons of elderberry syrup that was put into what I call fire cider. And fire cider is made, people have made fire cider probably since the beginning of time, with a variety of things, including apple cider vinegar, garlic, hot pepper, cayenne, thyme, and a couple of other things. And so I mixed all that together, and every night I would have a small glass of that. I mean, just like, I don't know, maybe it would probably be 6 or 7 tablespoons, a shot, they like to call it. Maybe it was a little more than a shot. And I got through all that, and I did fine. So there are a lot of things that you can do to talk to that immune system.
Okay. And what? Give me some more, because I was with you until you got to the fire vinegar.
fire cider.
Fire vinegar. Yeah, I like the elderberry. That tastes good. It's like going to International House of Pancakes there. You get that.
Yeah, well,
Then you're starting to mix apple juice with Tabasco sauce, and I'm not quite with you on that one.
Well, so we... Oh, you're such a wuss. Well, anyway, so another thing that's can be a common problem for people, especially for women, and especially during traveling, is a bladder infection. And so we use an herb called Uva Ursa and cranberry. And Uva Ursa can be really helpful with a lot of different things, including bladder stones and chronic diarrhea. It's a muscle relaxant. It also soothes, strengthens, and tightens inflamed tissue. And the cranberry is fantastic because it's rich in vitamin C, and it does not allow the infection, the bacteria that's attaching to the bladder, to cause the pain to attach itself to the bladder. So within a couple of days, you would see you would be without symptoms. If you want to go to the medical doctor, it might take a month. So this is a very powerful herb. Also, parsley is really fantastic to take for bladder infection. It has a lot of good qualities.
Well, something that occurred to me while you were talking about this is these remedies seem to me that you're saying, okay, these will take a period of days to actually come and solve or regain the balance within your body. I think a lot of people look at the medical model and say one of the attractions is instant relief.
Well, I can go in and everybody wants instant relief.
Yeah, I can go in, they'll give me a pill, they'll give me a shot, they'll do something, and suddenly it will all be better. But what you were just saying is that's not true. That's not the case. In fact, many times they prolong it and then they introduce other levels of imbalance that cause other problems that you then have to deal with.
Well, they don't call it practice. You know, they call it medical practice. They don't call it that for nothing.
Well, I always have this vision of the doctor of today will be viewed like we view medieval doctors, you know, walking around in their pointed hats and, you know, applying leeches and all these other things and going, oh, dear boy. But of course, everyone knows leeches will bring your humors into balance.
Well, they are using leeches again.
Well,
actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there, I rest my case.
All right. Well, I don't really care about any of that because that's not where I want to be in my health plan.
All right. Well, before you get back into your health plan, I will interrupt by saying that you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you that it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
And thank God, yes. So tell me more about herbs.
Okay, well, so just a few other things that are just basic to having some kind of a healthcare kit for yourself. All of these things are easily looked up online. Lots and lots of botanists out there. In the old days, they called them women healers. And the women would make these remedies and mix up poultices and essential oils and infusions and all kinds of things, and would make these so they could preserve the herbs over the wintertime or for the use during times when they weren't fresh. So one of the things that I like is I don't use petroleum jelly. I think that's a very common product in a home health kit, but we use something called Waxaline. And Waxaline is a soy-based product, so there isn't oil, petroleum in it. And so we use that as a base a lot of the time. We also use coconut oil as a base when we want to put other things into it, like other plant materials or essential oils. So we have a conduit or a base so we can rub that in on the skin or ingest it. And coconut oil is very, very healing, and it really bumps up a lot of the herbs when we're using them. So Waxaline is a good product. Another product that we use a lot for many things is diatomaceous earth. And diatomaceous earth comes from when there were oceans out in the western part of North America and they dried up, and these little like plankton kind of things lived there. And so one version of diatomaceous earth is used for water softeners. But the kind that we use is called flour, F-L-O-U-R, like flour when you make bread. And it has to be that food grade in order for it to work. So if you look at the diatomaceous earth under a microscope, it looks like a nunchuck. So it has a lot of barbs on it. So each little kernel, which is, you know, minuscule, looks like it's got all these barbs on it. And what happens is almost all insects, so parasites or even everything that you're trying to get rid of, carries moisture on the outside of their body. So this flour is so dry, when they crawl across it or have contact with it, their body grabs it and pulls it onto them. And what it does is it wounds them and then dries them up, and they die naturally.
Well, I know that we've used that for pests that are outside of your body, but does it work inside your body as well?
It works inside your body as well.
Mm-hmm. So it better be food grade, right?
Well, it's not that. That's not the problem. The food grade meaning that it has to be that powdery. Mm-hmm. That's just the consistency of it. If it isn't, it doesn't. It's not a nunchuck.
Well, and some of the consistent elements of all of these is these products are not very expensive, first off.
Well, it depends, because you can buy diatomaceous earth at the hardware store in a small box, and it's $10. I buy 50 pounds of it for $15 to have at my barn, because mm-hmm. I use this a lot with livestock.
And another thing is, of course, the Hippocratic Oath always says, first, do no harm. And then, of course, most of the doctors immediately ignore that and say, first, get the patient to pay their bill.
Okay, I don't want to go there. I really don't want to go there.
I keep drawing you back.
Because
but anyway.
I don't want to. Right. Here's the reason I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Is even though I sincerely believe that there is a place for medical model, I do believe that. If I break my arm or I'm not sure what else, but let's say I break my arm, I may need some help. But what I really want to focus on is the idea that we have the ability to do these things for ourselves. And I do not want people hearing this show to instantly feel they have to defend what we have been taught from the beginning of our life, that the medical doctor is God and they know everything and they're going to take care of us. I'm saying we have the ability to take care of ourselves, and we just need to put the medical model in its place, which is at the bottom of the list and is our last resort and not a place to go to because we're feeling we need attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to say that their model does state first, do no harm, and that these remedies really are benign, even if you don't believe.
They're not totally benign.
But if you don't believe they're going to work.
Right.
They're not gonna cause you damage. I mean, anything in excess can cause you damage. If you tried to eat your entire 50-pound bag of diatomaceous earth, it would probably cause you a little bit of problem. But putting a little bit in a cup of water and drinking
well, it has a lot of silica, and you have to be careful in how you use it. But like an example would be acidophilus is not going to hurt you. Sending the balance of bacteria into the good column is not going to hurt you. And that's the thing, is you want to ask yourself that. So moving on to the idea that about parasites. And in this country, doctors don't know much about parasites, because it's clear we're all very white, we're all very clean, and we couldn't possibly have any parasites. But it is not true. And so in the farm world, where we deal with animals and soil and have our hands in some sort of compost or soil or dirty hinies, we know that there are lots of parasites and lots of bugs that we really don't want to have in our system. And a little bit of that is fine as long as our body can handle it or the body of the livestock can handle it.
Because your body is dependent upon parasites.
Some to some degree will be healthier.
Yeah, for digestion and everything.
Well, if you look at Crohn's disease and different things like that, they're starting to realize that this is because they've killed off all the good bacteria, all the parasite activity. And that's why these things take over. But anyway, so a couple of things that I've used really effectively, and I learned about some of this when we lived in England, because you could go to the pharmacy there and the pharmacist would make up things, they call it compounding, that you needed. Or we'd look up things in a book. Like for the cats, I needed something for mange because I was worried about them being stressed out. And they made up a special formula out of a book that we looked up. But anyway, so diatomaceous earth can be helpful in parasite control. Also, grapefruit seed extract. So we've used grapefruit seed extract along with acidophilus to get back in control after we were on a trip to North Africa and we all got some kind of parasite. So we would take the grapefruit seed extract and you take like 2 drops, it's an oil, into some water. And it tastes so bad that you know I will never, ever have to worry about this again because those parasites are going to get the heck out of my body. And then we would have the extract. And then in a few hours, we would take some acidophilus. And then we would just keep alternating. And I know when we did this, within a couple of days, we were fine. We also, for animals, for myself, I do this generally in the fall. I take some grapefruit seed extract with diatomaceous earth, and then I also add garlic and wormwood. And wormwood isn't medicinal, but it can be quite dangerous. If you take it for too long, it can impact the liver. But I do use it. It is effective in that it does kill some parasites, but what we're trying to also do is create an environment in the gut where the parasite doesn't want to stay there. And so we want the parasite to exit in some way. So we're trying to force it out. Lots of women have trouble with what they call, female problems. So menstrual problems, whether they have too heavy of a flow or lots of pain. And so at our farm, with our interns, we have been very, I would say, lucky in that we have created a blend of lemon balm with red raspberry leaves and red clover leaves, not leaves, but red clover blossoms that are dried and made into a tea. And one of our interns had a lot of problem when right before she would menstruate, she would be ill. She was in so much pain and she'd just be white as a sheet and she'd just have to go to bed. And so we started this blend. And she thought I was the miracle worker, the woman healer. The first time she was better. And then after that, if she started within like 10 days of her menstruation, she today doesn't even have to take the tea anymore. She doesn't have any problems. So clearly there was some kind of imbalance. She had taken so many different kinds of drugs and crazy stuff that made her even sicker. And so there was a natural way, and she would go out and gather up the leaves and dry them and in a loving way. And so she was taking care of herself, and she felt very empowered by that. Another common thing that we see is herpes, which when I was a kid, they called it fever blisters. And they can appear a lot of places, but mainly on the lips. And this is a virus that stays in the gut, and it does not go away. I don't think there's anything that will kill it, but there are ways to try to control it. And one of the ways is Uva Ursa, which we talked about before, taking 2 or 3 capsules several times a day until the symptoms go away. And I will say that if you're susceptible to the Uva Ursa, or L-lysine is another natural product that we use. If you are susceptible, the minute you take the herb, the pressure that you feel on your lip where it hurts like crazy will almost within like 5 or 10 minutes stop hurting. And then the goal is to keep chasing it until the body gets back in balance again, so you don't end up with a big sore on your lip and adding to the agony. We also use peppermint for lots of things. It's antispasmatic, so it fights bacteria and several
what
types.
What does antispasmatic mean?
Well, like so you're not if you're get having an upset cramps,
stomach.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. So mm-hmm. if you're on a trip or in the car,
just settles your stomach.
It is. It's very
like
calming.
Ginger. You use ginger for that as well,
right? That's also an antispasmodic. Great for car sickness, nausea. It's also an anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But you can almost get a peppermint anywhere if you start feeling sick at your stomach. You would have to take several peppermints at once in order for it to really have a big impact. But it may be helpful.
Well, something that's occurred to me as you're telling me these things is we seem like, as a society, we've evolved from people doing this for themselves all mm-hmm. the time. Most people were responsible for their own health care. Then we developed professionals who studied this in depth and
came up. Before that, we developed this attitude that if you know how to use these things, you're a dumb hick. And you're doing
witch.
Yes, and you're
She's
doing crazy
She's
stuff. Yes, and we killed right. people who did that.
But then you say, all right, it makes logical sense for someone to study this stuff, get good at it, and then become the person, the go-to person. But we've evolved this to the point where now, as a society, we basically say, you are not capable or responsible enough to deal
to
with your own
yourself.
Health.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's so dangerous that we're going to sue you or something for even suggesting that you might take care of yourself. And it feels like, okay, we've turned this over to a system that we know is dysfunctional. Now what you're saying is, all right, come back a bit. It doesn't mean you get rid of these guys. They have their place. But start taking responsibility for the day-to-day inconveniences of walking around in this body of flesh that we...
Right, that's being attacked constantly. And I will say that for myself, it's a little bit challenging with my livestock, because the minute I get in a position with their help that I don't know what to do, my first inclination is to run to the veterinarian, but I haven't had good luck with that. I have to educate myself. Well, so I've got a couple other things I want to talk about before we end.
And you've got about a minute to do so.
All right. So cayenne pepper. It's a fantastic product. It helps with blood flow. It stops bleeding. If you had a wound and you were bleeding profusely and you pour that in there, it sears the ends of the nerve endings in the blood vessels. It's also good for pain suppression, and it's antibacterial. And then lastly, I want to talk about the plant plantain. Plantain is in everybody's yard.
One of my favorites.
Next to everybody's sidewalk. And you can look it up online, spelled Plantain. It could save your life. If you get stung by a honeybee or a wasp or a hornet, so many times you may have been fine in the past, it just hurts like crazy, but you have an allergic reaction. So if you get the leaf of the plantain, it has these spines, little veins in it, and you would chew on the leaf and break the vein and put that on the sting, and it could save your life.
Well, I'll attest to that, because I was out picking blackberries one time and rustled up a hornet's nest and got stung on the throat, and it just takes it right out. It's amazing. Well, anyway, you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and the medicine woman, Annie Warnke.
I'm not medicine. I'm the woman healer.
The herbalist.
Yeah, and so here's the deal. You better play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and eat your vegetables, or our producer, who's won Emmys, Adam Rich, will come after you.
Until next time.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed. Blossom in the night, know the stars are dancing in twilight. Soon we'll be together, all will be revealed. Mother Earth will sing, and the children will be healed.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.